that has now made her dead to you.
Les is real good, but just be a little careful. He can get a little hyper dispensational. He will say that nobody should call Jesus king right now because Jesus is not reigning, but he's kind of wrong on that because Jesus is reigning in our hearts as king in the kingdom of God. The spiritual.
We got me and my wife watched a couple good movies today. God's Not Dead. Really good movies.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hi, Violet.
Hello.
Hey, Violet.
How's everyone?
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You got your buddy with you?
I don't know where he is. I've escaped for a few minutes.
Keep your quiet.
So, Tom, what was the other movie?
God's Not Dead 1 and 2. They were both excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand the historical documentation of all that. I mean that's history, and for us not to portray that is totally ridiculous in my point. But I'm not the powers to be for sure.
Those are good movies. There's a lot of good Christian movies these days.
Well, I think we got to watch that as opposed to watching the stupid news.
Yeah, or some of the secular movies that are just so.
What was that one that Lee Majors was in? And
Lee Majors?
About the cross.
About the accident?
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a little bit.
Yeah.
And Sybil Shepherd. Lee Majors and Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah, she was in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was actually a very good movie.
We probably have it around here somewhere.
Oh, Sybil Shepherd, boy, she was. Everybody had a crush on her.
I was into personality.
Jeff, I've known you since the fourth grade.
And you can smell
I'll tell you, I can tell stories, Jane.
I believe you.
We're listening.
I think Bill's got a better story to tell.
Me too. I think, hey, we're running late.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all of that.
Hey, Bill, has anybody talked to Vinny at all lately?
I sent him an email, and we talked via email. And what's happened is he had a little setback with his COVID-19.
Oh, no.
You know, I was worried about that. That's why I asked.
Yeah. He's getting better, but he said he'll try and join us today, but we'll see. So that's what he said. But I sent him a video of us that I did record 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So he's not that far behind.
Well, we miss him.
Well, and you've got your video on for this week, right?
Yes, I do. I'm already recording.
Oh my, you better censor some of that.
You better clip the beginning.
Yeah, I will. I can do that.
Thank you.
If I remember to send it out at all. But I'm glad you weren't on earlier, Jeff. And I'll tell you why. Dave has something to say about you joining the Bible study. He didn't know if you would be coming in and joining us.
Ye of little faith. No doubt.
Hey, don't tell me anything because I'll tell everybody.
No, Andy was asking who all I played tennis with over at the indoor that he might know. And I said, well, that guy shows up once in a while at Bible study, Jeff Strauss.
Well, good to have everybody here. And we'll go ahead and get started. We have a precious time that we join together in fellowship. And it's always important when the Holy Spirit can come to us all at the same time, which I think is pretty remarkable. And I have a few things to share with you. Not really share with you, but I will share it with you. A little tidbit or something extra. But before we do that, I'd like to go ahead and someone like to open us up in prayer?
Sure, I will.
Thank
dear,
you.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this privilege of being able to gather and learn about your word and what you have for our lives. And we ask for all those who are in their cars trying to get home tonight that you Amen. Just protect them and get them home safely. And for those who can't be with us, just to touch their hearts also. And we ask you to bless Bill with good teaching tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for asking about Vince. And it's important that we keep all of our brothers and sisters in memory, in thought. Also, Weezy is sharing someone's 75th birthday. I don't remember the name of the person she said.
Know anybody that.
She's doing that. And Bender, I haven't been in touch with him in a while.
Yeah, so, Bill.
Bender, I think that's his name.
Yeah, Bill Bender. Yeah, but.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Since he moved, but I get an email from him on occasion. Mm-hmm. So I like to keep in touch with my cinema. I drop him an email every once in a while, find out what's going on. So, but the other thing I want to say is, you know, we may take it for granted a lot of times, but we think we're just being good people. But when we assemble ourselves together, it's very important. It's very important. And one of the things that I came across as I was trying to understand Ezekiel, one of the things I came across, and that is once you start to study God's word, and then you go into other passages of scripture, you see things that you hadn't seen before. And I'm talking about myself, because I haven't really made an in-depth study of Ezekiel. I know about Ezekiel. I know he was in the first deportation. I mean, I know those kind of things. But when I looked at chapter 20 in Ezekiel, and you don't have to go, I'm just telling you something. When I looked at Ezekiel chapter 20, I always hear about those people in the Bible giving an explanation of how the Jews had left Egypt, and how Joshua rehearsed the history of Egypt, and certain other people in the Bible rehearsed them. But I've never rehearsed God himself talk about them leaving Egypt and the reasons and what was their problem and some of the things that they had and some of the things that he did. I thought it was awfully eye-opening for me when I read it. In that particular light. So if you ever get an opportunity and you'd like to just look at it, read Ezekiel chapter 20. It's not a long chapter, but let me just read one thing out of it and I'll stop and go into our own lesson, but this is not a rabbit hole, okay?
None of it is.
Okay, but what I said here, what did I do with it? Okay. I have so many Bibles around here. Here it is here. He said, I'll just read one verse out of it. And this is what told me to go and read the whole chapter. And Ezekiel 20:5 says, and God is having a conversation with Ezekiel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in chapter 5, he said, and say unto them, Ezekiel, thus says the Lord, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them saying, I am the Lord your God. That kicked it off about him having the interaction with Israel when they were in Egypt. And it goes on to talk about them and what they were doing in Egypt while they were in Egypt. So I thought that was interesting. Yes.
Hi, Richie.
Hi, Richie.
Sweetie, hi.
okay, Richie. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Colin.
At the dogs. Hi, Colin. Sorry.
again, anything you guys want to add, anything that the Holy Spirit has brought to you last week or this week or tonight, please bring it up, because our study is so interesting when we have other input and information. We left off, well, I'm going to start with verse 14 and then quickly go through the scriptures that we had before. We're in chapter 17. Thank you. 17. And I want to just read verse 14. Verse 14. And it said, I have given them my word, thy word. Jesus talking to God about his disciples. And he said, I have given them thy word, your word, Father. And the whole and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And we all know that once we were born again, that we left the world and became spiritual beings in Christ. And also the Paul gives us some information when you dig into Paul. When we look at, again, 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul calls the word scripture. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's just 16. And what dawned on me as I was looking at it, a couple of things dawned on me when I was looking at the scripture and also this reference. He said, I have given them thy word. Well, we have the word given by Paul to the church, and he called all of it scripture. Peter himself even designated the epistles of Paul as scripture. And I won't get into all that later, but that's in the epistle, that's Paul's writings. But one of the things I want to highlight here in 2 Timothy 3:16, I thought it was interesting that the Holy Spirit would say it like that. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we all know that. But I thought it was interesting that he said, and in this light, he said, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He just named four different aspects that scripture can be connected to. It doesn't have to be all at once. Sometimes you're just saying it's profitable for doctrine. So let's just deal with doctrine. Okay, we're just talking doctrine. But he said it's also profitable for reproof. Someone who's mishandling the word of God, or not saying it correctly, or assuming that somebody should know what you're talking about. But he also said, for correction. So there's another aspect of the scripture, is if somebody is misquoting the scripture, scripture says that it is profitable that they be corrected. And it's also for instruction in righteousness. So there's four different aspects that the scripture that we can profit by. And I just thought that was an interesting little antidote to add.
Well, read the next verse.
I know, I didn't, but go ahead and read it for us.
So the result of that would be the profit that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen, amen. And I don't know if you all know, but that's a good verse that Colin reads a lot. And I know that's one of his favorites. I know it.
Pointed it out to me, because I always said thoroughly. And yeah. He said, no, it doesn't say thoroughly. It says throughly.
Through, yes. Yes.
So thanks through and through.
Yeah. Any other thing you want to add? Because I know that's a verse that you often quote. With the two verses together, anything you want to add to that?
No, I just, when I read it quick, I always said thoroughly as opposed to throughly.
Me too. Yeah, that's what I've said about it.
If you want to be you want to be throughly furnished or thoroughly furnished? Like mine through and thoroughly. Through or yeah. thoroughly?
Sherry?
Mine says thoroughly, and it's KJV.
Is it online?
No, it's Tad's Quick Verse.
Yeah, Quick Verse. That, if you read it in the actual King James Bible, the written one.
Yes.
It says.
Thoroughly.
Because mine says thoroughly as well. But it's actually thoroughly if you go to the actual print copy of the KJV.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Strong's instruction meaning means accomplished. So I think both of them actually give a good meaning.
Other comments?
Bill, I was just going to say that in verse 16, a lot of times it said, doctrine is what is right. Correction is what is not right. Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is not what is not right. Correction is how to get right. And then instruction in righteousness is how to stay right. So it's teaching us how to live.
What are you doing?
We lost our screen.
Cindy?
I like that.
Yeah.
I thought you had something to say, Cindy.
Oh, no, I'm over there getting the dog.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. We started off in getting the reference when we read verse 14 about the world will hate them. Well, let's see what is in store that Matthew's has to say about that. And Matthew's 24:9 also says a little bit about that. He said in Matthew's 24:9, he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There's another piece that Luke adds to that, besides being afflicted and everything like that. Luke gives us another aspect of that idea in Luke 6 and 22. Luke 6 and 22, which where I was going to start today, I just want to review a little bit. But Luke 6 and 22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Luke 21 and 17 goes on a little bit more with that by saying, and ye shall be hated. That's the word, hated of all men for my name's sake.
What chapter did you say?
Luke 21 and 17. I want to continue with that. John 15 and 19 has already mentioned that about the disciples. And that's just going back a couple of chapters, and you can read that. John 15 and 19. If ye were of the world, and I mentioned earlier when we started the Bible study that once we got saved or we're born again, we have separated ourselves from the world of this world. And it says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So there's something to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you track all through the scriptures about those that believed Jesus was the Messiah, they've met with ridicule. Even today, there are certain things you can't say to certain people because they'll feel offended or they'll do this, that, or the other, but they won't necessarily agree with what scripture has to say. And essentially how Sherry broke it down in terms of its applications. And then 15 says this, chapter John 17 and 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, Father, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Note how Jesus says that. He doesn't say keep them from evil. What does he say?
The evil.
Kind of personified.
Yes.
The specific evil.
You want to say some more about that, Colin? I mean,
I don't know. I remember seeing this last week and I saw the evil and I wondered about that. It seemed like it was a personification of evil.
Yeah. You can almost add to that too, Colin. You can almost add to that from the evil one.
Yeah.
You can almost say that. So this evil, Jesus is referring to Satan. Because that's who those disciples are going to have to deal with when they go and deal with the remaining Jews that are in Jerusalem. The other thing, First John, and John expands this in his later writings. 1 John 5 and 19 tells us something about this. And it tells us something about us and what we'll be dealing with. And 1 John 5 and 19 says, and we know that we are of God. Why do you say that, John? Why do you say that? And we know that we are of God. Well, the rest of the sentence tells us. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Wow. I put a note here for myself and I'll share it with you. And I said here, there are three things that our Lord is requesting for his disciples in verse 15. The three things that he's requesting there. And he's talking to his Father. He's talking to the Father in verse 15. Remember, this prayer is to the Father. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Okay. He's saying, Father, don't take them out of the world. I mean, don't do that, but just keep them. And so when you look at two things that I put down here, number one is to be kept. We as Christians, although our trials and tribulations may become very, very burdensome for us, he's not going to take us out of the world because we are his witnesses. If you look at verse 17, and we'll get to that, verse 17 is to be sanctified and to behold his glory. That's in verse 24, and we'll get to that. But I just wanted to give you a preview of that before we even get to it. But those are the things. We are kept. And I ask the question, how are we kept? How are we kept today?
Through his word.
I mean, I'm just a question.
And we're sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've been given his word. We know his word is true. And so we have everything we need to protect us. If we call on Jesus, I mean, we don't in and of our fleshly selves, but.
I like that, Jane. You mentioned all three of them. You mentioned the Word, the Holy Ghost, and I forgot the other ones you mentioned, but you mentioned all three of them. Way to go.
Triple crown.
Yeah. There's other things, too, that we could, based on what Jane just said, if we look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, this like supports what Jane talked about a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3 tells, and this is Paul now talking to the Christian believers. And as God, as Jesus, asked the Father to keep the disciples, not to take them out of the world, but to keep them. Remember, that's what he said in 15. Look at what 2 Thessalonians says to us believers in 3:3. He said here, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He didn't say keep you from the evil, but from evil. The disciples is the word Jesus telling us that disciples had to go through, had to deal with some heavy stuff here. A direct onslaught of Satan. We have been established by our faithfulness from evil. He didn't say a particular evil, it's all evil that is in this world. Second Peter tells us something also about this. Second Peter 2:9 tells us that, and I like this particular verse. I happen to like this particular verse because of what it says. It says, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I like that. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I think we even got a scripture that talks about, don't we? Mm-hmm. Anybody know it offhand?
I think, is it the one that says there is no temptation taken us, but such is common to man? But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
Yes. What's that?
That's what you quoted, 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Wow. Yes.
Isn't that beautiful though? Isn't it good to know? It's absolutely good to know that God, the Lord, knows how to establish us. Amen. There's another verse I want to go to. 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. And it says, and we know that we are of God. Almost what was said earlier that I read. I can't recall where I read it at. But it says here in 19, and we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. How do you know you're of God? Because you believe by faith that Jesus is who he said he was and that he rose again from the dead and that he is ascending up into heaven. We know that even when we read Acts 1:11, we know that. So yes, we know. When we look at Acts 2:21, and it's still referring to the prayer that Jesus is giving and when he gave us in John 17:15, we're still on that. We're still on that and looking up scripture to support that. And it said, and it shall come to pass, Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's talk about that for just a moment, if we can. It's good to have your name there, Tom, so people know who you are, Tom Bowman.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, he put his name there, so I was the only one who knew who iPad was. But anyway, I asked the question that after I read Acts 2:21, I asked the question, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I just wanted to talk about that for just a minute. Anybody got anything they want to say about that?
Paul said the same thing in Romans, the exact same thing.
What's it say?
Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Any other things you want? Violet and I had a little conversation about this last week about being saved and things of that nature and things you have to, any hoops you got to jump through to be saved and you whatever. But remember the man on the cross?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was doing evil all the way up to the cross, to crucifixion. And what did he say? You know the story. I mean, what did this man say on the cross to Jesus?
He said, "We deserve what we're getting, but Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Yeah.
Called him Lord.
Colon?
No, I didn't have it right.
Huh?
I said I did not have it right. I was going to say, "Lord, save me."
And he did.
But he said, that's what he said. You're right, Colin. He did. But look at that. This guy was hanging on the cross. Didn't do it. He had not had any deeds before him, but yet and still, the Lord saved him. I'm going to talk about a little advanced theology here.
It's interesting. But Jesus, he also confessed his sins. He said, "We deserve what we're getting." That's a repentance or a confession of sins.
Everybody hear that?
Mm-mm. Yes.
She made reference to the other thief that was ridiculing Jesus and the other sinner on the cross came to his defense. And what was another step as far as our understanding, and this is a little bit more theology here, Jesus descended and preached to those that were dead. And do you call, yes, you call the scripture that says he led captivity captive?
In Ephesians.
At that point in time,
Ephesians 4:8.
I can't hear you, Sherry.
It's Ephesians 4:8.
Read it.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Okay. At that point in time, paradise was emptied out. And the point I want to make there is this. That thief on the cross went from death to paradise to heaven. Because that place is no longer a holding tank for those people. Like if you know the story of the rich man and the other guy, and there was a gulf there, and et cetera, et cetera. But I won't get too much into that. But I just want to quote that particular scripture and maybe have something come to mind when we bring it up or talk about it.
One more thing. The fact that that sinner on the cross recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He believed that he was the Son of God. And that's the big thing with Jesus. Do we believe he is who he says he is? And that man on the cross did.
And thank you, Violet, for that. And one of the important statements that this man made, and oftentimes, well, I don't say, I'm just saying this generally speaking. Oftentimes we may not focus in on what the thief asked of Jesus. You recall what the thief asked of Jesus?
Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Exactly. Exactly. Lord, remember me. Remember me. That's an act of faith. That's an act of faith. And look, only thing we have to do in this world is to believe who Jesus is and to do what we can. Everybody's not given the same gift. He gave gifts. You saw the last part of what Sherry had read, led captivity captives and gave what?
gifts unto men.
Yeah, okay. You guys remember what she said? Gifts.
Could you say that, Sherry?
He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4 something.
Yeah.
I think something else to look at with the thief on the cross is that it's a reminder to us that we need to tell people about Jesus and give them knowledge about who he is and what he's done, because this man obviously knew who he was. He called him Lord, but he also said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, which meant that he knew that this man was going to have a kingdom. So he must have known who Jesus was when he was alive, that this was the man saying that he was the king of the Jews. So it's important that people be told about Jesus, because they can't call on his name and they can't come to him if they don't know who he is.
Anything else? Anyone?
Yeah. Nehemiah happens to be one of my more favorite books. And throughout the book, Nehemiah asks God to remember him for his good works. He probably says that at least 3 or 4 times. He actually ends the very last verse is, and for the wood offering at the times appointed for this first and for the first fruits, remember me, oh my God, for good.
How can you relate that to the man on the cross?
I think universally, as Christians, we need to remember what God's promises are. We need to remember what we have right now, and stand fast in that. We can't. It's so easy to forget or take it for granted, or don't put the proper awe and respect in what we do have, the gifts that we have received. So remembering is critical. So it starts with Nehemiah. We see a thread through this guy on the cross, and it goes throughout Paul.
An aspect. Thank you, Steve. An aspect of that to be remembered is this. A thief, the thief got caught.
Yeah.
He got caught doing something, whatever it was. He got caught. And the penalty was death. Now, the thief on the cross is not a Gentile. He was a Jew. All Jews knew that there would be a kingdom if they went to church, if they had the scripture and they say, God is coming, because the Pharisees and the scribes thought that he would come as a big guy and just destroy Rome and do all this kind of stuff. So they had an inkling. A lot of people are aware or know the name Jesus, but many of them would not act upon it. They would just say, oh yeah, I've heard of Jesus. Yeah, you know, he's a good man. And that's what some of them said. But as far as them believing who he was, well, the whole different story. A lot of people today know who Jesus is and what he comes to represent, and that he glorifies his name, and his name is very important to himself, because he destroyed a lot of, he punished the Jews because they did not reverence his holy name. And if you look at Ezekiel, he'll talk a lot about that. Steve mentioned Nehemiah and Ezra. Those people recognize the importance of the temple and going back to their land. So a lot of people know who Jesus is, but the fact is, who's going to act on it? Sherry mentioned that it's more than we have to do. We have to tell people who Jesus is. That is part of our dowry. That's part of what we have to do as disciples and ambassadors of Christ. We're chosen to be active participants in this day and age. And not someone to just sit back and watch and, oh, isn't that awful? Or do you have anything to say about how awful it is? Or where is the hope? You know, there's people. Anyway, let me get off of that bandwagon.
But we're also talking about a lifestyle, too.
Yes.
You know, we're not just talking, I know Jesus. We have to act like we know Jesus. It's a lifestyle.
Amen.
And in leading a life based on Christ, somebody's going to know there that you're different. You're not a part of the crowd, so to speak. You know, because we're different. We are peculiar people.
I think you're right, Violet, because the thing is, if we tell people we know Jesus, we love Jesus, and we tell them who he is, and we don't have a testimony in our lives that uphold that, our words will fall on deaf ears. But if our lives are upholding our testimony, we will be more effective. Bill, one other thing I wanted to say about the thief, when he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, I think it's also a petition on his part, asking for mercy and grace. Mm-hmm. He knew what he deserved. And, you know, he asked for mercy there, and then he knew what Jesus had to offer, which was a kingdom. So he was asking for grace to be a part of that kingdom. So it's the same thing when a sinner, any repentant sinner comes to Christ, they ask for mercy on their sins and forgiveness of their sins, and they ask for the grace of God in salvation.
I think that's very good.
Yeah. Thanks, Sherry. You brought to my mind something else too when you said that. When you said that, I just thought of something. Said, now, how did the thief on the cross know that Jesus had a kingdom?
It was preached.
And that's what the thief mentioned on the cross.
Well, didn't the sign up above his head? Three languages.
Yeah.
He said, King of the Jews. But it didn't say anything about kingdom.
Right.
But the thief on the cross specifically mentioned, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. So evidently the thief heard the kingdom message. Well, otherwise, Jesus, he wouldn't have said it.
Jesus had been preaching for 3.5 years, and you got to think he was a pretty effective preacher. A lot of people heard him.
He had, yes.
There was also John the Baptist, who was a heralder, who was preparing news of Jesus coming through. And then, you know, Jesus fed people, he healed people, and that kind of word spreads.
Yeah. I want to coattail, this is not a wrap up of what we just got through discussing, but if we look at Romans 12 and 2, based partly on what we just talked about. Romans 12 and 2 tells us believers, and be not conformed to what? To this world. But what? But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. It ties into everything you guys just been talking about.
Well, and our minds are renewed by learning the word, by learning more about Jesus. And Peter talked about growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Faith starts with knowledge. You have to know something in order to believe it. And you have to then believe it in order to trust it.
Yeah.
Again, it gets back to, you know, we need to talk, but like Violet was saying, our lives have to also look like we believe what we profess.
Yes. Well,
that's Romans 12:1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What did it say?
Into 2. 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Amen. Tom, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with Violet, which is stated because, you know, people think, look at you like, he's weird or, you know, he's talking crazy. And I guess we're more or less outcasts. So, you know, they question our beliefs. And certainly, I don't mind being an outcast, you know, when I think about eternity. I'll be an outcast every day, you know.
Amen. Amen. Stan, one of Violet's key statements is to stand. Whatever you go through, stand.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting, and again, once you start to study scripture, you'll see so many things that, you know, may cause you to look around and say, am I the one Am I the one that saw that? But when you look at it, look at what he said here. And I won't digest it that much. Just a little bit. He said, and be not conformed to this world. Okay, stop. Ask yourself the question. How can I not be? How do I? Okay, Lord, I understand that. Help me to not be conformed to this world. So he said, but be ye transformed. How do I go about being transformed? Help me to understand about this, by the renewing of your mind. How can I get my mind renewed? Ask yourself these questions. How can I be renewed? He said, well, it doesn't go on to say, but to renew your mind, Jesus also, scripture also said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He wasn't making that statement directly. What he was saying, Jesus' mind was humble, humility. I'll follow, I'll do the will of my Father. And so what he says here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to get that? How are you going to get that? But by reading scripture.
Yes.
And studying what God's word says. That's how you go from believing that to believing this. From stop believing a lie to believing the truth. So you are this transforming of your mind. Hey, it doesn't happen in a week or a month or a year. It's over time.
Hey, Bill, when you're being transformed, though, isn't it quite obvious to you that what is the truth because you got the Holy Spirit in your heart?
And how do you prove that?
You're a changed person.
Yes, you're definitely changed, but the scripture will tell you that you're changed.
Right.
It will tell you, and that's what we have to believe. So we said, wow, you mean I only have to believe these words here? That's all? But look at what Jesus told Thomas. Thomas was a disciple. Three years plus of following Jesus, but yet and still he didn't believe that Jesus had appeared in the room to the disciples. And what did Thomas say? Unless I what?
See it.
Unless I see the nail prints in his hand, I'm not going to believe. Wow. And so what was Jesus, and this is for you, Tom, what did Jesus say to Thomas after he had saw him? After Thomas had saw the nail holes and prints, and he said, my Lord and my God. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who have
you don't
not
see.
Seen.
Right.
Yes. But believe. That's us, you guys. That's us.
May right. I also make another statement? If you've noticed, in every meeting that we've had, somebody or two somebodies have quoted verses from scripture. And a lot of times we do things automatic, but we don't understand. That's a blessing. That's for us. And the fact that we know scriptures, and that's enough to save us.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about when we're in a crowd. I'm talking about when we're by ourselves and we're thinking thoughts. How do we get past those thoughts? Well, we know scriptures, and scriptures can come up to help us get through a thing, yeah. Make us stronger in Christ. Because yeah. We have to fight battles, that's for sure. Yeah. But the tools that have been given to us is the scriptures.
Yeah. I can't go back. Because I would spend all this Bible study on just a couple of points. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to do this one time. I'm going to go back with what you just said, Pat, to what Steve said. And I don't know if anybody caught what Steve said. He mentioned Nehemiah. And he mentioned there were three scriptures in Nehemiah that were important. And you just said, in all the Bible says, somebody gives some scripture that is important. So I would task you to go back and see what Steve was mentioning or talking about when he mentioned Nehemiah. But I don't want to get in. That's a lot more to get into.
Well, and what Violet was talking about when we're thinking thoughts that we don't want to be thinking and we can renew our minds with scripture, there's the verse in 2 Corinthians about taking every thought captive into captivity for Christ. And that is the renewing of the mind, that we would go to scripture and let scripture renew our minds and take our thoughts in the right direction.
Yes.
Tom, did you have something you wanted to add to that? I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
To cast another side to Thomas. In John 11:16, I'll just read the last part. When Jesus is talking about going to Jerusalem, Thomas said, he's the only disciple who says, let us also go that we may die with him.
Yeah.
And as far as Thomas doubting, the Jews were looking for signs.
Yeah, we've made Thomas into doubting Thomas, and that's so unfair to him because he had a right to say, I want to see it, because the Jews require a sign. And, you know, if it had been any one of the other disciples, they would have said, well, I want to see him, because he hadn't seen him alive. They had seen him. But somehow throughout the centuries, we've created this doubting Thomas, kind of a Thomas to be cast that way.
Excellent.
Yeah, none of them believed.
No. You know, if you
go to the end of Mark.
Yeah, they would have been at two.
Yeah, exactly. They all needed proof, didn't they?
Yeah, it said afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So that none of them believed the witnesses.
And what proof do we have on that? I'll bring it up, but what proof do we have on that, what Colin just said? And there is proof. You remember when the woman came back from the grave? And she busted in the room and said, "Who's risen?" They didn't believe her.
Yeah.
But Peter and John ran to the sepulcher. They didn't believe it. But then they did believe it. One thing I want to kind of bring, this is so such an interesting verse, but let me continue with that for just a moment. I just got through reading, and we had some good discussion on Romans 12 and 2. Verse 17. Just so I get to 17. I had no idea, Jane, it was going to take this long to get through this.
Well, I'm glad it is. This is the holiest of holies, so important chapter.
Yeah. We're going to read verse 17 of John 17, which is a very, very interesting, all of them are interesting, but this is interesting too. When you look at it here, it says, and listen to what Jesus is saying to God, the Father. Look at what he's saying to the Father. He's saying, sanctify them through thy word, not your word. Sanctify them through thy word. Why? Thy word is truth. And I wrote here, as a note, after I read that, I was struck with this particular thought. And I said, we are separated, sanctified by the truth. Truth is the great separating force for the believer. Sanctified is to be made holy. Wow. That was my thought.
To be set apart. That was my thought
after reading that. Because we are sanctified through the word of God. And it's not we who sanctify us. It's the word that sanctifies. And a question I had, after that thought came to me, I had another question. And the question was this. Who is the word of truth?
Jesus.
Say it loud. Jesus. Jesus is the word of truth. This includes the incarnate and the revealed words alike. The revealed word. What is the... Oh, I don't want to keep asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. He is the word.
He is the incarnate word. Because what did John say in the very first chapter, the very first verse?
In the beginning was the
word. Was the word, yes. In
the beginning was the word.
The word was God.
Go ahead, Colin. I mean, and the word was God.
The same as in the beginning or something.
Yes. What's remarkable about that, what John said after that, a couple of verses later, and we beheld. I mean, wow. They fellowshiped with the word of God, the incarnate word of God. And the incarnate word of God is what has sanctified us, but guess what else it says? And the revealed word. Where do we have the revealed word of God but in scripture, and more specifically, in the mysteries that Paul gave to us? Wow. And listen to what John 5:33 has to say. And it's going back. This is going back into John 5:33. And it says, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. If you all want to know who the truth was, it was Jesus. Because John the Baptist was there sent to bear witness of the truth. And it's kind of funny when Pontius Pilate asked him, well, what is truth? Jesus could have said, hey, you're looking at it.
I think also applying it to the Bible or the scriptures, thy word is truth. It doesn't say thy word contains truth, like some people try to say. It is truth.
Speak a little louder, Sherry.
The where it says thy word is truth, applying it to the scriptures, it doesn't say thy word contains truth or offers truth. It says it is truth. Back to the point that Jesus is the word.
Yes.
And that the written word is a representation of Jesus.
Yes. What did John say toward the end of his whole book? That the words that Jesus did and things he did, it couldn't be contained in the book. It's not enough books to contain all the stuff. And to think about it, when we have time to meditate on and think about the word, I said, wow, Jesus, he actually walked this earth, and I'm on the same earth that Jesus, God, the Son, walked on. Matter of fact, I'm breathing the same kind of air that he breathed when he was here. That was as close as I could get to it way back then, you know. But now I understand that when I read scripture, the Holy Spirit can put that in our hearts and give us continued revelation on God's word. As when we read about things that some people are confused about, we're not confused about the times that we're living in. We're not confused about that. We're not surprised that things are happening because the word said it. Not only in Matthew 24, but other places in scripture. Paul talks about it. John, Peter, everybody, they talk about it in ways that we can understand it. And one other scripture I got here, oh, John 14:6. And this is another little summation. What is John, excuse me. What does John 14:6 say?
Y'all know it. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Wow. There's no other way. There's no other way, is there? I am the way, the truth, and the life, eternal life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Answering Thomas's question.
Yeah.
And what was that question? Above. And what was that question?
Thomas saying unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Yeah.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Wow.
I think we should need to remember too that we are stewards of the truth, that we need to protect it and we need to guard the truth, because we see so many Bible versions come out and they pervert the truth. They twist it.
Yeah.
And not all of them are totally bad, but some of them are, you know, certainly in parts are bad. And then there are those that are totally bad, like the New World Translation, which is part of the Jehovah's Witness cult.
Yeah. And And a question I'm going to say, and why should we believe just what Sherry just said? Why should we believe that? But yeah, it's true. Yeah, I know it's true, but I just want to add to what she just said. That is, does the scripture tell us that we are written epistles?
Mm-hmm. And we're his ambassadors, and an ambassador is supposed to represent the truth, the person in the true way. So but we can only do that if we know the truth.
Yes. If we are epistles written in our hearts that men could read us, I don't know any other way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We are ambassadors, and people should see us, and something about you should have somebody ask some kind of question. even if it's a doubting question. No.
And we're all studying the Bible, but there are so many small groups nowadays that instead of reading the book, they read books about the book.
Oh, boy.
You know, and the sad thing is you're really reading many words, and some of them are very good, but some of them are not as good. Wow. But that's become so popular in small groups, and they call them Bible studies, but they're not really studying the Bible.
And right now, Sherry, they would chase you out of town if you're in a group of them. Because this is a good book. I mean, Rick Warren, he's the purpose-driven life. Boy, that man is so far from the truth, I don't know what is.
Got it right on the first page, and then it went downhill from there. About you, and then it went downhill because the whole rest of the book was about you.
Yeah, and let me get off this bandwagon. People don't know these people who write these books or what they believe.
Yeah.
Short story, I got to end this because we're over time. I'm going to end this. There's a guy I've known for, 30 some plus years in the Word, in the Bible, in the church, a minister, pastor. I could not tell him that he was wrong in this one guy that he believed in. And, you know, I said, wow. And if I would tell, I mentioned to him, said, I don't follow this guy. You know, I used to like him, but now I don't, because I found errors in his. Because what did I do? I went back to scripture to see if what he was talking about was true. And it wasn't. I threw away all of his books. I only had two, not a lot of them, I only had three. I threw them all away. Matter of fact, I don't read any book unless I know of them. And the books that I'm reading now are old. They're in the 1800s. In the 1800s, they were written. And these guys, every sentence that they write down, the next sentence is the scripture. Mm-hmm. Then they make a statement, then there's the scripture. Then they make another statement, and there's the scripture. That's what I follow. I follow the scholars. Mm-hmm. We're over time, and thank God.
Along that line, when we need to do due diligence about these authors and be especially aware of the higher critics.
Mm-hmm. You even know what that means, higher critic?
Well, they try to take the words apart and put them back together. They also, a lot of the higher critics claim that this was added and this was added and this psalm wasn't part of this psalm and this was added on and somebody edited this. They don't take the scripture as for itself, and they are reconstructing it according to what they believe is the correct linguistics.
Let the word interpret the word.
Yeah, and they don't believe in the inerrancy of scripture.
And there's a lot of them. I mean, it's just remarkable. I mean, well, and they started 100 years ago.
And Steve, they're no better than the Judaizers were.
Yeah.
Okay, they're no better than them. They profess that they believed in Jesus. They were even part of the First Jerusalem Council. But they still said, you got to be baptized. Paul wouldn't tell them anything about being baptized. You believe by faith. And so there are people who you just talked about who write these books and
faith comes by
hearing by the word of God. And the scripture says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God. Don't let me go on. Let me, stop for a minute there.
If you're reading other people's books, you need to know enough of the Bible to see where they might be an error, because there's a lot of good books also.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, you want to check it against scripture. But if all people are reading are books about the Bible, then they're not really knowing the scripture to check against what they're reading.
Amen. Amen. Well,
a good one.
Now that's a change. We'll just keep reading the same 66 books over and over again.
Yes. And we're going to close now. We're going to close up. I want to say to Jane, boy, you are a prophetess, Jane. Yeah. I have not been able to get past what I wanted to get past.
Oh. That's fine. It was a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Hey,
Richie's surgery is next Tuesday. Is that correct?
No, the 26th on a Friday.
On a Friday. Okay. The 26th.
Yes.
That's a week from this Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you having it, Richie?
Christ Hospital.
All right.
I'm praying for you.
I'm going to need it. This weather's not helping me. Canceled one of my appointments, and I'm kind of, yeah, that's a bummer. My appointment was tomorrow.
What was that called?
It's my post-op physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-op?
Pre-op. Yeah.
Pre-op.
Yeah. Colin, I hadn't heard Renee. How's Renee?
She's sitting in the chair over here next to me. How are you doing? I'm not showing you. Okay.
Just wanted to say her name, that's all.
She said hi and she smiled. The dog's on her lap tonight.
Oh, I talked with Andy earlier. He went off. But he wasn't feeling all that much better. He said his neck was feeling better, didn't he, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured when he clicked off, he's just hurting some.
Yeah, yeah. But our prayers are still with him and everything.
Keep Finney in our prayers.
Yes, yes, yes. I know Joy is doing a lot with her family and everything, but her name keeps crossing my mind every once in a while. So you all know Joy, don't you?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
I'm kidding. Well, would someone like to, I like to pray for all of those who are part of the ministry, the Bible study, who are not with us. And I know that they know we pray for them all the time. Would somebody like to close us out in prayer, please?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Father, we come before you tonight just thankful for this time together. Thankful that we are still able to gather this, that we are able to read your word, that we are able to grow in your grace and in the knowledge of your Son, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we just, you know all the needs of this group. You know all of the things on our hearts, the things that are spoken and those that are not spoken. And we just trust them all into your loving hands. And Lord, we do pray for Richie next week as she will be having her surgery. We pray for relief of any pain going into the surgery and that she be strong. And we pray for the doctors, Lord, that they would do a wonderful job and that her knee would be better than ever, better than new. And the recovery would be would go well and not be too difficult. And Lord, we just look around our world and we just see so many lost people. Lord, we just ask that you would use us in whatever way you would desire. Yes. To share your word, to share your love, to be an example of your love to people, that they might be curious about who Jesus is. And Lord, we ask that you protect the children and that you use us to preach your word to those children, that they might come to know you at such a young age that they won't even remember living without you, because this world is going to get more and more difficult for them as they get older. So Lord, in all these things, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, our guide and our director, and he's our everything, and Jesus is with us through his power. So we just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. And we ask that you would send us out into the world to walk in your ways and to do your will. And it's in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you, Sherry.
Hey, thank you, Sherry. Yeah.
Wonderful. Richie, get that knee fixed.
Sherry, you don't know how ready I am. I mean, I am ready, girl. I got everybody lined up. It's just that these appointments being canceled, I'm trying not to be discouraged.
I have a friend in South Carolina that's having it done the 18th of March. And I talked to her today, and she's in the same position you are, just waiting and pain, and just wants to get it over with and get it better and get on the track to better health.
Wow. Yes, and I am mentally ready. I mean, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Boy, that's real important.
On the road.
Yes, it is.
Jane has an interesting story about having a surgery delayed. And during that period of time, she actually, maybe you want to talk about that, Jane.
I'm sure you'd be braver.
Well, it's good to have Dave back. You know, he was out last week.
Well, it's nice to be back. Real, real nice to be back. And we need to all, everybody stay safe in the next day or two.
Yes. God bless all of you. May God bless you this week. And be safe. Be safe.
Be safe, everybody.
We'll look you too, Bill.
It's real special tonight. Thank you, Bill.
Bill, we'll look forward to doing two or three more verses next week.
Yeah.
we like that we're taking our time. This is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. So
yeah,
let's
take our time.
I will, because I know this is Sherry's favorite chapter too.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's full of meat.
It's a keeper.
You guys take care.
Good night.
You too.
Blessings.
I'm stopping the recording.